Welcome back to another episode of your favorite sporting podcast, or maybe even your favorite podcast in general. It is Hockey the Podcast. We are back. Apologies, we took a week's break to go play some golf, but we are back talking about the best sport in the land. It's hard to believe that we are now at episode 60. It was just the other day that we were celebrating the milestone of reaching the half century, but that now feels like a lifetime away, given the amount of guests and the quality of guests that we have had on the show since then. But once again, we move from one to another superstar waiting to chat to us. But before we do, let's chat to my partner in crime, as always, Tyron Jobu Barnard. How are you doing, Ty?
Good afternoon, Derek. It is an afternoon while we're recording. I know when people listen, they have been asked, can we not do a timestamp because they listen at different times of the day? But no, we have to. It's disrespectful not to greet each other. So good afternoon. Yeah, and it's nice to see you on a hockey recording rather than a golf course again. But looking forward to seeing you on a golf course as well again pretty soon.
Yeah. Look, I mean, the day's still a puppy, let's be honest. It is the afternoon, so what? Got about another 7 hours before the sun goes away. So that's what? Two rounds of golf. Well, no, a half a round the way I play, let's be honest.
Derek, don't sell yourself short. You are an entrepreneur who gets value for money when he plays golf.
Thank you very much, Ty. But enough about golf, although we do tend to talk a hell of a lot about that of the late. Who do we have on the show today, Ty?
Yeah, so it's episode 60, and we've gone with someone who, despite the abuse that I gave him when I was commentating on an exhibition match, decided he still wants to chat to us. It is one of South Africa's indoor hockey current stars, who played part of the series victory against Switzerland. He is also the darling of many, and we will ask him all about having his own featured song from the crowds that follow him all around. It's none other than Stevie P, Stephen Paolo.
Hi, you, Steve.
How's it, Jabu? How's it, guys? Thanks so much for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, look, it's about time. We've been chatting about getting you on to chat all things hockey, chat all things Northerns for a while. We just haven't managed to have the stars aligned properly to do it. But yeah, I mean, Stevie, I mean, the most obvious place to start is the fact that in 2019, you got a national call-up in indoor hockey. You got to play against Switzerland. And in all truth, with no disrespect meant at all to our teams, you weren't really expected to cause them too much of stress. We were hoping that South Africa would go there and challenge and compete. But not only did we do that, we went and won the six-match series, 5-0. And you played a big part in that. I mean, take us through that opportunity of being called up to your national team, of representing your team, standing on the field, singing the national anthem. I mean, it must be everything a youngster dreams about.
Yeah, Tyron, I'm actually getting goosebumps right now. I'm thinking about the first time that we, myself and Chaddy, because he's obviously a close mate of mine, we stepped out on the pitch and the national anthem's playing. And myself had to take a big deep breath because I was like, just don't shake on camera, Steve. Just don't shake on camera. So yeah, it was big goosebumps for that. I think I had an inkling that I was going to get selected a few weeks before they announced the squad, because I got a random message from one of the Saha management, and they sort of asked like why I was injured or unavailable during the one part of the year. And I was like, this is a really odd message to get at this time of the year, considering I haven't had contact with anyone for like a while. And then I sort of got my hopes up from there, and then obviously the team was announced, and I was like, oh my goodness, what are you gonna do, Stevie P? This is a dream come true. And then it's kind of surreal. I tell my family and friends about it, and you're like, okay, cool, this is cool. Then we get to Durban. Durban's the first place we get. And it kind of hits us on the first night. Derby coach David Joshua kind of gets us together around the brow with Ryan Hack, and we get a nice like kit presentation done, and then we get the green and gold kit handed over to us. And then Shadi and I, like two little kids, we go back to our room, start taking photos together. I'm like, Shadi, which kid are you sleeping in, the shorts or the shirt, bro? So we were like two little kids. Yeah, it was epic. And then obviously, again, goosebumps when the national anthem starts playing and it really hits you. And you're like, oh my goodness, there are people watching me now and I can't let them down. And these people like are supposedly so much better than us according to history. Don't mess this up. That's sort of the mentality we had. And then we didn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a series that will be remembered because, you know, after the slip and slide that was Danville due to the unbelievable circumstances that happened with the rain and the and everything else. But ultimately, you know, it was a series that after a draw, we went and won every single game. I mean, at what point along the series did you guys as a team start talking about the fact that we're here to win this?
Tyra, we kind of, I think we really took it game by game. So first game, we just said, well, let's kind of take a swing and see if we hit something. And then we kind of did. And then the next game, we did the same thing. And then after the first, like, three games, I think everyone kind of went, hey, hold on a second. We got the upper hand here. But we still try to keep the pressure off of ourselves. And we just, again, game by game, we're like, let's go for it. And then in the final game, I think was the time we said, okay, we're going to put some pressure on ourselves to go through this undefeated. So, yeah, it was very much a situation where we rebuilt every single game. Also, the team changed a lot. So we had lots of people having their debuts. I think we had like 14 or 15 debuts in those 6 days. So everyone was really, really, really over eager to put out a performance, which I think also helped.
Steve, tell us about your time as a quacker helped with your indoor ability.
Quacker. Yo, the quackers have such a big place in my heart. We started there, when were we? 14? Yeah, in under 14 we started there, and we had a really good side for a very small province. As you know, Easterns are we're still up and coming, we're still growing. So we had a really good team though. So we're dominating everyone in Easterns. And I remember one day I kind of went to the coach and I was like, come on, coach, you got to give us a challenge. And it was Tebs and Jason Voigt. And Tebs and Jason Voigt looked at each other and they sort of giggled because they obviously knew what was coming for us. And Tebs looked at me and said, Stevie, don't you worry, you'll get a challenge. Then I think it was a tournament in four ways. We played Brandon James and Dario Lorenko. They had been playing indoor for like 3 or 4 years already. And it was our first season at indoor. And we get on the field, and I think they gave us like 13 or 14. We may have scored one goal. And then obviously I walk off my tail between my legs to go to Tibbs and say, sorry, Tibbs. we got some good competition here. And then we actually went to PSI, and similar things happened. I mean, we played Ryan Crowe. And I think Ryan Julius must have been there for the Seals. Same thing happened. They must have given us about 16 or 17. That was in our first year. Then we just grew. The second year, under 15, we gave it back to them. We made it to the finals. Quite remarkably. I think we scored at least 5 or 6 goals in every single game. And we sort of made the semis every single year until under 18. But unfortunately, we couldn't make crack the gold medal. I remember the last year, because it was a journey, man. Yo, we had some fun in those teams. Anyway, the last year, we're in the semifinals, and I think we're like 4-1 up against the Seals. And Karl Marx was coaching us, and we decided now, okay, we're on cruise control. And I think it was like a few minutes before halftime, one of the guys smashed the ball from the halfway line, and I cracked my right ring finger. So I had to go to hospital, and I'm sitting in hospital waiting for the guys to get the results back. But by the time we got the results back, I was on another planet because they gave me some morphine for my finger. But by the time that wore off, I was very, very upset to hear the news that we'd let our 4-1 lead slip. And I think that was our best chance to win PSI, man. But yo, I can't tell you the memories that we have with Zeet and Jason and Tebs. I can actually tell, we could have a podcast just on our first PSI, Derek and Tyron, and I think we'd have some good laughs.
Well, I mean, Steve, tell us. Don't hold back, because I mean that's one of the beauties of this, is that we like to go beyond matters on the field, and we try and always eke out info behind the scenes, and some players are a lot less receptive than others. I'm taking you fall in the latter category. So by all means, tell.
One of my favorite stories, and I wish Boyty was sitting next to me in Tebs to tell the story, because they cracked me up when they tell it. We're under 14 and we go to Cape Town. We're staying in the UCT hostels. I think it's like the fourth PSI, or fifth PSI. And it's our first time there. And next to one of the hostels is like a artificial soccer pitch. And Chaddy Futch gets his hands on a whistle. And he may have been egged on by Mr. Voigt and Tebs. And he climbs in a tree and Tebs says, "Chaddy, you are now reffing this game. Whatever you say goes." So Mr. Voigt and Chaddy are chilling in the tree. Mr. Voigt and Tebs are watching the game. Chaddy's in a tree behind the goals. And these guys are, it's not a professional game, so it's amateur. So you know by the 30th minute of a football game, an amateur football game, everyone just wants to kill each other already. Refs are rubbish. Some guy's broken through the attack. He's one-on-one with the keeper, and you just hear a whistle. Everyone stops the game. Guys are swearing at the ref. What's going on? Chaddy is packing out, laughing in the tree. Mr. Voigt and Tebs are killing themselves on the side. This ref's about to die. Ref says, "It's not me. It's not me. Play on." 5-10 minutes later, Chaddy does the same thing. Oh, I think Chaddy must have been a little bit afraid for the ref's life after the second or third time he did it. Because he jumped out of that tree and ran before anything happened to that ref. But yo.
Oh, man, that is brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, and so Chad has featured on the podcast. It was one of the few where Derek was away, I was away with the IPT, and I chatted to Chad. And, I mean, Steve, you bring up Chad a lot because, obviously, the two of you are the East Rand Boykies. I mean, along with current national captain Jethro, another East Rand Boykie. And, you know, myself, I'm an East Rand Boykie, so it's very close to home for me. It's interesting to see that the East Rand is starting to reap its benefits. I mean, we were known for years as the baby brother of Southerns or Northerns or whatever. But, you know, now there's you and Chad in the national team alongside Jethro. There's a couple of players punching at the door just below and obviously massive demand. I mean, what do you think it is about Eastern Gauteng that makes them so plucky and makes our indoor hockey so good? And don't bring up anything that I did when I was on tour with Eastern Gauteng, because I'm not going to podcast anymore.
For sure. I'll keep that to myself, Jobs. So one of the things we kind of we pride ourselves in the East Rand is we're quite resourceful. Give us whatever it is and we'll make the best of it. You know, if we have to beg, borrow and steal shinies, tackies, a stick and a court to make sure we prep for RPT or PSR, we'll do it. If we have to train on grass fields, no one will complain. We'll pack up our bags, go wherever we have to. And I think that's really a big testament to the mentality behind the guys from the East is always just make a plan always. And with that also comes the classic hardness of a proper East Rand butt. You'll never have, I don't think you'll ever play Easterns without someone getting nice and loud and perhaps too loud and threatening someone else for some other reason. And obviously with that mentality, as you grow and get a bit more mature, it really helps balance your game out. So yeah, there's something there that really works. I mean, if you look at the players coming past or after us, we've got Duncan Gross, who's a tremendous talent. Nathan Gross, another tremendous talent. We've got Josh Brains, who's now in Pretoria playing with us. Cameron Danzy, who's not playing, and I'm very disappointed. He's unreal. I think there's so much that comes out of the East Rand that's really, really good. Now sort of I'm making it a bit of my problem to try and make sure that there's less disconnect between players leaving school and not playing hockey out of school, because that's a big, I mean, it's a little bit sad for me because I love sports and I love hockey and I wish everyone played as much sports as they could like throughout the year. I think it's just so good for you as a person, but obviously each their own. But I really, really do my best to try and get as many people involved, especially from my hometown in the East. If I hear someone needs something, I'm just like, come on, bro, just let's make a plan and get you playing again. So yeah,
Stephen,
lots of good from the East.
For the uninitiated, I mean, we've spoken about Quackers, but tell us a bit more about who is Stephen Pala and how you came to be in the position where you are now in terms of a very, very highly skilled hockey player.
Okie dokie. Okay, Derek. So it started in the year 23 and something years ago. My mother, no, I'm joking. I'm not going to go that far back. I've always been a sportsman. Sport has been something that I've been passionate about since I was like 3 or 4. And then when I got to high school, I kind of focused more on hockey than I did soccer. Soccer was like my first love. And then I was sort of dwindling from about grade 11 to maybe second year. I was kind of dwindling between like hockey and soccer. And I was always wondering if I was going to go back to soccer. And then eventually at some point in my third year, obviously I was playing both. So I was getting high level of coaching. I mean, Voity was coaching me for he coached me for 5 years, which is really the crux of it. He taught me everything I needed to know. He gave me the base to be a good hockey player. And we put in hours and hours of work during normal training times and after hours. I mean, there was times where out of Jay's own goodwill, he'd come and coach us at like 5:30 in the morning just because we wanted an extra session. And my brother as well, if I wasn't having a fun time at home, I'd just pick up the phone and call my brother. We're knocking his door and say, listen, Dino, please will you take him to the Astro? And from he'd drop whatever he is just so he could help his little brother get a little bit better on the hockey field. So, I mean, those hours that we spent as youngsters with the good people we had willing to put input into our lives, that I think really made me a really good hockey player. So that's where it started. And then obviously going to varsity, having people like Guy Elliott then take me to the next level also helped. So there's so many things. I think it's a lot more complex than just saying it is what it is. But at the end of the day, you have to put in X amount of hours to get the outcome. And I really think I've put in those hours, which is why you see the things that I'm able to do on the hockey field. I mean, if I look at now as a player, I'm always when I look at Diane and Muzzy, for me, I get a bit complacent now because I'm like, oh, there's not much more I can do. And then I see Muzzy and Diane, they're putting in the extra yards. And I'm like, actually, Steve, if they can do it, you can do it. So now having people like them around to really push us to grow is also such a tremendous help, because you're like, actually, I can get even better now. It's not the end.
Yeah, Steve, I mean, you've brought up Diane and Muzzy, and I mean, you play alongside Jared and Jethro and Ryan Julius. I mean, obviously, currently the national men's squad, 23 players. We know that only 12, maybe even 11, will go to the African Cup. I mean, what are you doing to try and differentiate yourself while still supporting the team to make sure you're in that final?
Tyron, in lockdown, that's when I sort of took my preparations even more seriously. So I spent a good amount of time trying to get my habits in place so that I can just be a well trained, consistent athlete and reliable. So if whoever the coach is, they can just say, I need Stevie to do this job and I trust him that he can do it. And then, yeah, just be a good example and buy into the process, do whatever I need to do to make the team a little bit better. I think that's about all I can do. The rest is up to the coach really to say if I'm part of the best picture for the South African team in AFCON and in the World Cup. And I hope that I am. And if I am, I'm going to continue to give my all. And if I'm not, I'll still continue to give my all because at the end of the day, it's not the 12 guys going on to the World Cup and to AFCON are part of a much bigger picture. There's a huge process behind us going to the World Cup. So yes, the 12 people going to the World Cup will be the faces of SA hockey and will show like the results of a huge process that I'm very grateful to have been a part of and to keep being a part of. So I'll keep doing whatever I need to do to make sure that if I am one of those 12, great. That'll be a dream come true. If not, well, I have to deal with that disappointment, but make sure that I keep the grades are good in mind and we keep driving forward.
Look, I love the attitude. I think, I've watched you play enough to know that you are definitely knocking on the door of that 12, if not already there. And then if you keep up the work, I mean, it was very clear on social media that you were one of the hardest working players during lockdown. So, I think it's great. I also know that you've taken that same work ethic into your approach of coaching and helping build stuff. And obviously, alongside Quibi and co, you are very instrumental in helping launch and grow indoor hockey up in Pretoria side in Northern Gauteng. Tell us a little bit about your adventure.
Thanks, Tyron. That has been another massive part of this year specifically. Actually, I think it's been instrumental in my road to making the World Cup side. Quibi put a lot of input into giving me enough opportunities to train and play. And as I said before, you just need those hours behind you of quality training to get you skilled enough to play in a side like this. And then slowly but surely, I got involved in like running things and helping with the coaching. And then at some point, like it's always been a massive dream of mine and goal of mine to use sport to like uplift communities. So at some stage, Quirby had mentioned this as well. So I stuck around and put in a bit more yards at like an office. And then eventually we kind of said, okay, let's take this Tshwane Titans franchise and make it as big as we can and then use it for the greater good, you know? See if we can get someone who's just not as privileged as we are and get them to have the same opportunities that we have. If we can do that with one person, then that'll have made all the hard yards and the late nights, early mornings worth it. So that's our goal on the development side is we really want to put things in place so that there's, you know, people can benefit it more than hockey, just in life, you know. That's the one side of it. We're going to work now. We're starting on Wednesday to go and start off with our outreach at TUT. So that's very exciting. It's a big week for us to launch that. We got some cool people involved there to support. And yeah, so our project is Boitabelo. That's our development. And yeah, that's our next focus now. But then Tshwane Titans, I mean, is sort of where it will start for us. The last 3 or so years, I've been like inputting myself and my time as a coach. And now over lockdown, Kirby kind of sat myself. Well, it was actually the conversation started between her and I, and she said, Stevie, are we going to make this like your life or are you going to go do other things? What's the situation? And then I kind of came to the decision and said, let's go for it. Let's make this the best thing we can. And then Bubbles, who's also been involved for the past few years, has also put a hand up. So us three plus Sierra, who's just left school, have decided we'll try and continue Kobe's legacy that she's trying to start at the Tshwane Titans. And and with that, try and make indoor hockey sustainable in the northern region of Gauteng. Like, there's so much talent here as well. It's crazy. We wanna do big things. So yeah, that's where we stand at the moment, Tyron and Derek. We are. Yeah.
Steve, I've got to ask, because we had Ty allude to it a little earlier, but we need to go in a bit more detail. There's a song about you, which fans tend to sing whenever you play. Are you able to sing it?
I don't want to butcher the song. I quite enjoy the song, but having my voice sing it is just going to ruin it, Derek. we can't do that.
Nonsense. Oh. I beg to differ. I think everyone would love to hear. For those that don't know it, I'm pretty certain. Just hold on. Let me just see something here quick. I just want to do something here. Okay. There we go. Let's just see what we can find here before we try and work. Here we go.
Derek, I've got something.
Let's hear it, Ty.
Oh, Stephen Paulu, you are the love of my life. Oh, Stephen Paulu. I want to meet you. Wait, let me stop here. You play too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You've got a heavenly touch. I want to tell you so much. At long, 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 the game has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You play too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you.
Excellent. Wonderful. I'm so glad the camera's off, because you guys would see how red my face is going right now.
And that was Quibi from Tuani Titan singing that on a live Instagram feed that she didn't know. She was going to be doing a while ago. So, Steve, where did that song pop up? How did that come?
So I was my final user with Tux. We get on the, that was also the Varsity Cup year. So it was like, user was like 2 months after Varsity Cup, and we'd won Varsity Cup. So we had really, really, really good tournament. Then I get on the field. We're playing our first game, I think, against NMMU. Not having the best game. Guy's not happy with us. He gave us a nice hairdryer treatment at the first chukka break. And then I hear someone singing the song, like a group of people. And I hear my name getting thrown out. I wasn't sure if I could hear it properly, but I'm hearing this, oh, Stephen Paolo. And I'm like, wait, this can't be. I'm not hearing my name correctly. Surely I'm playing, I care on playing. Then I hear it again. And it's the UCT guys sitting on the side, singing the song over and over again. Oh, and I was like, guys, you're going to ruin my use, because Guy is not, I'm not going to hear the end of this from my coach. Yo, now I'm sitting trying to play, not laugh at the same time, because I know Guy's going to have me at the end of the game, but this song is so good. I just sort of jump up, be like, you guys are flipping legends, man. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It was the UCT guys. I don't know what it was for. I think they just decided, guys, let's make some banter. And I was the lucky chosen one of the song. So thanks to them for having a good time, for making a really, really cool song.
Very, very cool. It's the first time I've heard it, I've got to admit. And I completely understand why you weren't keen on singing it yourself, because it's, it would have been quite weird telling yourself how much you love you.
Yeah, it would be a little weird.
Oh, man. Oh, really, really cool. I love it when fans are able to participate like that, and especially get the players involved. And, I mean, do the other players give you a bit of a ribbing when it's sung?
No, to be honest with you, surprisingly not. People actually join in. It's really catchy. I've been out once or twice with the guys in Pretoria, and at some stage in the night we'll all end up belting the song out. It actually seems to take on, like, people buy in, so it's great. The only time it was a problem was at the end of USA, when I had to pay my dues for having UCT sing that song. So in a fans meeting, I had to earn the right to have it sung. So that was the only not so great part of it. But yeah, the rest of it, it's really cool, man.
Yeah, it is really, really cool. And please tell me, They made you sing that song during that Fines meeting?
If I'm honest with you, Derek, I don't think English was even an option by the end of that Fines meeting. So I'm sure they tried, but I just wasn't able to.
And also, to be fair, you probably don't remember.
Yeah, if I'm 100% honest.
All right, Steve, before we send you down the narrow highway that is the one question quiz, I mean, we need to obviously wrap it up and talk about if you were to put on a dream team, indoor hockey, so six players on a field, what would your dream team be right now? And let's keep it to players you have either played with or against.
So, Ty, let me just get the parameters. It's going to be, what, five field players and a goalkeeper?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, this is hard. Okay.
I mean, you can, if you're brave enough, you put the keeper and have six outfield.
Oof, that's a tempting one. Okay, my dream team. I think I'm going to have to go with the boys from the East. So I'm going to have Chaddy there up front, Jethro there at left back, and I'm going to have to complete the trio there. So I'm going to put myself up front.
Yeah, the East Rand Triangle.
Yeah, you have to have the East Rand Triangle. It's a non-negotiable. That's tough. Now I must. We have to have Lionel Messi there, Jared Jones. I'm sorry to the keepers, bro. I'm going to put Muzzy as the one defender, and Jan's going to come on there as a sixth man. That is my dream team.
I mean, that's a nightmare team for most people when they think about playing against them. But absolutely, what a dream that would be. I'd see some guys licking their lips saying, give me a crack. I can see some of the old boys trying to have a go at you, but I think it would be a pretty, pretty strong team.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I actually took the easy route out because my biggest worry about this team was the goalkeepers. So I've just decided not to choose any of them because we have some ridiculously good keepers. So I've steered clear of them. Because that would be a nightmare pick.
We actually asked the UCT guys who they would make in their dream team, and they said Stephen Paolo, Stephen Paolo, Stephen Paolo, Stephen Paolo, Stephen Paolo, and...
That's funny because I was thinking my second team was going to be Anton van Lochrenberg, so on. So we're thinking the same things here.
Well, from one question to...
And then you...
Yeah.
From one question to another, and it is the last question of the interview, the dreaded one question quiz.
Live in the moment till I die.
Okay, so it's a nice easy one.
Derek, I'm just going to interrupt you. You got it.
Yeah, that was great.
That's the sound.
Yeah, that's the sound. I agree. Okay, so living the moment till you die. Will you live or die with this question, Steve-O? So let's have a look. I am wanting to know, there's an artist that has released three albums so far. Really, really good albums. 2006, he released These Streets. 2009, he released Sunny Side Up. And 5 years later, Caustic Love was his third and final album. Who am I talking about?
Yo, I'm gonna have a guess and pick a name out of the air. I'm gonna say Sam Smith. No idea, though.
Okay, Sam Smith. Okay, no, but this guy was born in Scotland. I think Sam was born in England. Any more clues? And he is of Italian origin.
Born in Scotland and he's Italian origin.
Yeah.
That's confused me more than it's helped me. Where did you get Italian born in Scotland? Oh, gosh. Let me have a second to think about this.
Okay. You've got 3, 2, 1. Go for it.
I'm out. I've got nothing.
Oh, man, what a pity. The man I'm talking about is a Scottish-born singer, 33 years old, a brilliant, brilliant singer, Paolo Nutini. is his name.
Oh, Hectic.
Hence the link asking.
Yeah, no, I get you, but I'll never have got that. But I'm going to go look this guy up because he's got a really, really nice first name.
Yeah, no, he really does, but he's got some fantastic music too. Highly, highly recommended. So, yeah, go listen up, but not too much because you've got a lot of practicing to do as you go from strength to strength in your hockey career. Steve, it's been absolutely brilliant chatting to you. Thank you.
Derek, Tyron, thanks so much for having me on your show. It has been an absolute pleasure. I'm really glad we finally got around to doing this. I've been looking forward to it for so, so long.
The pleasure is all ours. You just keep banging away the goals and making Chad raise his game all the time, and we'll keep telling the story in any way we can.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks, Steve-O, man. Listen, have a great day, and we'll catch up soon.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Now, before we go, it would be remiss of me not to play this clip, which I received a couple of seconds ago, actually, from Jason Voigt. Jason, you would have heard mentioned plenty by Stevie during the show. Now, Jason coached Stevie P for many, many years, particularly during his development years, as Stephen alluded to. And this is what he had to say.
The young lads were 14 because they had finished under 14 RPT about a month before the men's RPT took place in Randburg in 2011. And we obviously arranged, fetched a couple of them, and we went to the Randburg Astro to watch. And I think it was finals day as well. At any rate, these youngsters all take shirts to get signed and bags and whatever they've got. And I remember that Austin Smith was playing for Province at the time, and Princess had set up a little stand in the corner. And after Western Province games, you know, he very willingly and very humbly gave some of his time to sign things and chat to kids and take photos if that was the case. And the fixtures took place, and, you know, kids are running around getting sweatbands from provincial players and what have you. And young Stephen Paolo goes up to the Princess stand, you know, to what we assume is to just get something signed, a kit bag, a stick, whatever it was. And he had with him his little under 14 Eastern Gauteng provincial shirt. And instead of asking for an autograph of the shirt, he actually gave his shirt to Austin Smith and said something along the lines of, "No, you keep my shirt because one day we might be teammates." And I think that sort of little story summed up the kind of player he was and the kind of player he is. He had this ability to think out of the box and take chances perhaps that others wouldn't. Needless to say, that whole little story at the time went on Austin Smith's Facebook page, and it kind of went a bit viral for a while, and, you know, good comments about this young man, you know, having the guts and the audacity almost, I suppose, to have this conversation with him. But to me, that's coached him for a number of years. There's no real surprise. It was a surprise at the time, but not really, because when you've seen his development as a player, you'll understand that his ability to think out of the box is a little bit different to a lot of others.
Another one smashed out the park there, Ty. Well done.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's so many people that the biggest challenge is trying to turn some people away. Well, because we just can't record 30 episodes a week, but yeah, I mean, it's great to hear, and it's great to see the work that they're doing in Pretoria with the Tshwane Titans and their commitment to not just developing people, but developing the community as well. We love sport, but we love it when sport also changes lives.
Yeah, no question whatsoever. And I loved his backstory too. It's nice when the interviewees are willing to speak about stuff beyond the hockey field. And, I mean, of course, that is usually the case with all our guests. But yeah, he wasn't shy to share some stories from the past. But a great year from the days from Quakers all to right at the top of the log, which of course is South Africa. So that was Stephen Paolo, the man who has a fantastic song named after him and dedicated to him. So you can go and listen to that if you want while watching him play live. And hopefully it will be sooner rather than later. Ty, as always, it's been great. How about you go get us another guest?
Yeah, why not? I think I'm going to head over to Ireland for the next one.
Oh, excited. Can't wait. Cheers, Ty.